We've got to start. Okay. I'll just get this thing going. Okay. Today's daf is Pei Beis. Yesterday we finished exactly at the bottom of Pei Aleph, and we were talking about the things that Yehoshua made on conditions of when he settled the land with the people, and we mentioned a brisa which had ten things that we listed that Yehoshua made, 10 takanos, and the Gemara finished off with the last thing was a question which said, what do you mean there's only 10? We found other things. We found Rabbi Yehuda, who talked about being allowed to take your chamber pots out into the street during the winter time and being allowed to just leave them in the street so that they should just get run over by the cars and stuff and get dissolved. And that we said that was a condition of Yehoshua ben Nun. And then we had Rabbi Shmuel ben Esher Abiechur and Breker, who said that if your bees fly into your next-door neighbor's field, then when you want to retrieve them, you won't be able to retrieve one bee at a time, so you're allowed to cut the whole branch and just compensate the owner for the branch and keep the tree, and keep the bees.
And then we had the other one about the muddy roads.
That was before. Then we had the one about, if one person's coming with a barrel, with a barrel of wine, and one person's coming with a barrel of honey, and the honey is worth more than the wine. So if the person with the wine barrel breaks, then if the honey barrel breaks, the guy with the wine pours out his wine to save the honey, and then he gets compensation from the honey guy for his wine.
Can you say that 10 times quickly?
No, but there's another one that's similar. One guy's donkey is carrying wood and the other one is carrying linen, and the donkey that's carrying the linen dies, so the wood guy throws away his wood and carries the other guy's linen, and he gets compensated for his wood. And all of those things were Almanaskein Hinichli Yeshua Es Ha'aretz. So we started off with a list of 10 things. So the question is, why does it say that Yeshua made 10 things? We've got all those other ones that Yeshua that he also made. And the last line of yesterday's page was "Bichidoy loikam rinon." Those things are all individual things. One was Rabbi Yehuda said it. One was Rabbi Shmuel ben Esher Abiechur ben Breker said it. So because it was only the opinion of one person, not a consensus opinion, therefore that one that talks about the 10 doesn't delve into ones where there's a differences of opinion. Okay, so that's where we left it yesterday. Top of the page, Fred the Gemara, what do you mean? Rabin says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then he came from Eretz Yisrael, that Echad Ilan Hanoite, what's this thing? Echad Ilan Hanoite L'Sech Stech Averi. The same will apply if there's a tree, let's say, hanging into his friend's, you're on a neighbor, and a tree is hanging into the neighbor's property. The Echad Ilan Hasamach L'Meitzar. Or there's a tree that's hanging, that's on the border, yeah? And a person takes the fruit from there, yeah? So we're talking about the laws of Bikurim. Is mevi v'koire. So the rule is that when you bring fruit for Bikurim, some people, there's three categories. There's people that don't bring it all, if they don't own the land. Then there's people who own the land and grow their fruit in a normal manner, and they bring it, and they read the text that's in Parshas Kisavai of Ha'orvas Hashem Asatali, thanking Hashem for the land which you have given me, and I brought you the first fruits for Bikurim, etc. And then there's some people who bring it and they can't say the text because it doesn't apply to them. But this guy, when he's taking the fruit from these trees, he's allowed to be koire. He's allowed to say, this is the land that you gave me, when he brings fruit that he pinched off these things. Yeah, so your tree is hanging into my backyard. When I pick the fruit and take it as Bikurim, I can say that's the Oros Hashanasatali, even though it came from your tree. Why? That was one of the conditions that Yeshua made, that even though the tree is growing in your backyard, if it hangs over to my backyard, or if it hangs over into the street, then that fruit that's hanging over belongs to everybody. And the other person is entitled to say, it's mine. Yeah. So that's another thing that Yeshua made. Yeah.
What's the question on this one? They already resolved and they said, yes, there are 10 things, but then there are 10 names of
the question. So here are the questions the other way around. I'm sorry. Yeah, good point. I didn't explain it properly yet. That is a brisa. And this is Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah. So when we had the other ones where it was a Das Yochid, it was different Tanoim. So we can say that the author of the Brisa didn't include opinions that were individual opinions of Tanoim. He only included consensus opinions. But that means at the end of the day, it's a Brisa which says there were 10. So the next question is, Rabbi Yochanan comes along and he has an 11th one. So this is like Rabbi Yochanan is—it's a kashan Rabbi Yochanan from the Brisa. The Brisa says there's 10, and Rabbi Yochanan comes up with an 11th. How does Rabbi Yochanan have a right to argue with a Brisa? Yeah, this is the question over here. Ella answers the Gemara, well, because the Brisa itself isn't really a Brisa. Mantana asara tanoim. Who was the one? The mantana usually means who was the tana, who was the author, but in this case it means who was the one who said the statement that there were ten conditions. Shehisna Yehoshua was Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Who? It wasn't even a brisa. It was a statement of Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was a borderline generation between the Tanoim and the Amoraim, right? Well, Rabbi Yochanan, we never find that Rabbi Yochanan should be called a tana, but Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi you'll find in a Mishnah.
Well, that's the question is whether it's actually a Mishnah.
Okay, but at least it pretends to be a Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Yeah, the end of Shas is Rabbi Shua ben Levi.
But that's why
what we thought was a Brisa, and now we're concluding it wasn't really a Brisa, it was Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it makes sense, because it's a borderline anyway. And Rabbi Yochanan, who was also around the same time, so he doesn't have to listen to Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi says there were 10, and Rechid is allowed to say there was 11. Yeah, they don't have to agree. Okay. Rabbi Gavia mi Beit Kosil. There was a fellow called Rabbi Gavia from Beit Kosil, Masni lo Behedje. And he says, clearly, instead of starting off by saying that it was a Brisa and having to go through this whole question and answer, he befavorish learned it like that. Rab Tanchum v'Rabarius Omri Mishum Zokin Echad. That Rab Tanchum and Rabarius said in the name of one Zokin, one Chacham, one Rav, Umanun, who was that? Rabbi Shua ben Levi. They said in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Asara Tznoim Hisna Yeshua. So we started Tana Rabbanon that there were Asara Tznoim. Yeah? So he had a befavorish that Rabbi Shua ben Levi said Asara Tznoim. So there's no Kasha in Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so those are the 10 things we finished with Yeshua ben Nun. Now that we've talked about 10 conditions Yeshua ben Nun made, we talk about 10 conditions that Ezra made, which is very nice and symmetrical, because of course Yeshua ben Nun was the one who led the people in for the first conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and Ezra was the one who led them in to build Bayis Sheni after Golas Bavel. So he also made 10 takanas, as we shall see. There weren't some Yeshua's takanas were about the. Sorry? No. Ezra was at the beginning of the second.
Temple, and Yeshua was after the Tanaic period, the beginning of the Amoraim.
Yeah. So Ezra, just to get the historical context, Yeshua ben Nun was when they first came into the land after 40 years in the desert. Ezra was at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. Right, so he came back.
1600 years.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, 1300 years.
1300
years after Yeshua. Yeah, it's the second base of Mishkan. So when they came into the land, there was 850 years of the Mishkan, and then 410 years of the first base of Mikdash is 1200 and something, and then 70 years of Golas. So you can add it up. It's about 1300 years, and then Ezra came back, and he was the leader when they built the second base of Mikdash, and then these guys who are talking about it were another 500 years later again, right? So they never saw each other. They were just trying to remember what happened. Okay, so Yeshua ben Nun's takanas were all to do with, that we mentioned, were all to do with the land, weren't they? They were to do with
bricks and mortar,
property, relations, neighbors, things that you can do in public land and private land. They were all about that sort of thing. It was about how do we settle the land in a way that's fair for society.
Real estate.
But there were society type of things. For people should live nicely as neighbors, sharing the land. That was what Yeshua ben Nun was doing. Yeah, but Ezra's takanas were more sort of religious in nature, most of them anyway. So Asara takanas tiken Ezra. Ezra made 10 takanas, 10, what do we call them? Not decrees, but institutions. Number one, Shekoyrim b'mincha b'shabbos, v'koyrim b'sheni v'chamishi. that they should read the Torah Mincha on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday. We'll ask later that we thought it was before Ezra, but at the moment, let's say what it says. V'donin v'sheni v'chamishi. The Beis Din sits also on Monday and Thursday. That was the second one. U'mechabsin v'chamishi v'shabbos. You should wash your clothes on Thursday. It's amazing that he had to make a takana. People should wash their clothes look over Shabbos. Well, presumably, if he wouldn't have made that takana, people didn't wash their clothes for Shabbos. I don't know, but that was
maybe they were sitting
on Thursday.
Don't forget, getting water was not an easy thing, because you either had to go to a well.
Right. So what, people never washed their clothes?
Maybe they didn't do it for Shabbos.
So his takana was that you should leave your washing for Thursday. Yeah. Okay. No, I wasn't questioning that. I was going to be Chalim, but yeah, no, it makes sense what you're saying. I mean, that's that he said keep all your laundry day for Thursday.
You couldn't send it out either.
There was no Chinese laundries there. The next takana was that you should eat garlic on Friday. We will see about that. What's the whole point of eating garlic on Friday? That a woman should get up early when she wants to bake bread. She should get up and bake it early in the morning. We will see. We will go through all these in detail, so I won't belabor them. A woman should wear undergarments. We'll see about that. A woman should do what we call the chafifa before going to the mikveh, which is basically brushing out her hair to make sure the hair is smooth and no knots and stuff. So there shouldn't be any chatzitza when she goes to the mikveh. V'shehu roichlin machzirim bayoris. There should be traveling salesmen selling perfumes and women's apparel going from city to city to make available supplies. That's before the internet. So it was the early version of Amazon. The tikkein tefillah lebal.
Rashi
says Amazon.
No. Well, it was for the Amazons, for the women.
For the women, right. The tikkein tefillah lebal kriyin, and he made a takana that someone who is a balkeri, who he has a sighting or whatever at night, so he has to go to the mikveh. Again, the Gemara will ask about all this, because some of these that sound like they make a lot of sense of face value until we explain them.
Are the first ones, the Mincha and Monday and Thursday, two separate ones?
Did you count them?
Yeah, I was trying to count them. I think it has to be separate.
Yeah, I think they're two separate. Yeah, otherwise you're going to get nine. Yeah, that's 10. Okay, so first, so Shehu Kerem be Mincha be Shabbos.
What's the reason for the Monday and Thursday talking about Torah?
Yeah, so the two, so there are, the reason is two different things, yeah. Because the mincha one is b'shum yeshve kronis. That means the people who don't get to shul often, the yeshve kronis are people who are sitting in the markets or sitting out in the streets. So he simply wanted that on Shabbos when they're available to make an extra reading that you hear the Torah again. They're not going to come to shul even Monday and Thursday because they're too busy going to work. So at least for Shabbos, okay. So instead of so Shabbos they're not working. So he wanted to make a laning at Mincha also to give them another chance that they should hear Kriyas HaTorah. That's all. So that was for them. Then yeah, you can tell it's two different ones because it's a separate two dots here. Yeah, Shekorim B'Sheni V'Chamishi. The second one was Monday and Thursday. So the Gemara asks, "Is Yekurim B'Sheni V'Chamishi Ezra Tikkun? Did Ezra make that up to line on Monday and Thursday? V'Havi Korah Havi Misakna? Wasn't it already in place before Ezra? The Tanya, we learned in a Brisa. V'Yelchu Shloishes Yom B'Midbar V'Leimatzel Moyim. This is a pasuk in where is it? It's in Bashalach, right? Straight after the Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah. They came out of the Yamsuf and they sang the Shira, very nice. And then they wandered in the desert for 3 days, and they couldn't find water, and they got upset. And Moshe had to, and they came to a place where the water was, bitter, and he had to throw the stick in the water, etc. The whole Moshe there. So it's a drush. The drush is that they wandered for 3 days and didn't find water. Darshe Rishut Moisomru, the people who darshin, who explain these hidden things, the secrets, huh? Mikrois, yeah,
is written text.
They say that what does it refer to? It's a hidden meaning besides this mayim thing, that ein mayim ela Torah. That mayim refers to Torah. The Navi says to the people that if you're thirsty, go to water. So you don't really need a Navi to tell you that if you're thirsty, you have a drink of water. So what's the Navi telling them? He's telling him, if you're spiritually thirsty, go to the Torah. That he needed to tell them, because they weren't necessarily doing that by themselves, yeah? So Torah, so Maya means Torah. They went 3 days, and they didn't find Torah. What does it mean? Came in Chahalchus, Shleishus, Shom, Beloi Torah. Once they went 3 days, and they didn't hear the Torah, Miyad Nilu, they got weary. In the desert.
This is not the second generation, the first generation parents.
No, this is Chris Yamsuf. This is right in the beginning.
Yeah,
this is right in the beginning after they came out of Egypt, like right after Pesach. Yeah, Shvishal Pesach was Chris Yamsuf. So this is 3 days later. It's, you know, like Chof something Nissen. Chof Hey Nissen, let's say, right? So that means Omdu Nevim Shebeinayim, the prophets amongst them. One assumes that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved because he was the head. He was the head shliach, huh?
They're saying here,
that's scroll.
Generations exceed Moshe Rabbeinu because they wouldn't do things on their own while Moshe Rabbeinu was. They bring the Ben Yehuda.
That what? So that kind of came later.
But
Moshe Rabbeinu must have been involved in this takon also. That v'tikdun lehem, they made a takonah shi'ukur b'shabbos. That the way that Kriyas HaTorah should be set up is that we read on Shabbos, Mafsikin be'echad b'Shabbos, we skip Sunday, V'koyrim b'sheni, we read on Monday, Mafsikin shlish revi, we skip Tuesday and Wednesday, V'koyrim b'chamishi, and we read on Thursday, Mafsikin erev Shabbos, and we skip Friday, K'dei shelo yalinu gilmiyom maloi Torah. So we shouldn't have 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah. So what are you telling me? Ezra made that up. It was well before Ezra that they had this concept of reading Monday and Thursday. His answer to the Gemara, Meikara Tiknu. The original Takana for Monday and Thursday was Chad Gavra Tlasi Psuki. One person should read 3 Psukim. That would make your life easier, hey? One guy only to call up for 3 Psukim.
Because he read it himself also.
That would make my life easier, but as long as he knew how to read. Inami, or Tlasa Gavri Tlasi Psuki, or even 3 people, 3 Psukim. That could have been the Takana. We're not quite sure what it was. Keneged Kohenim Levim Yisraelim, because that way you can call up a Kohen Levim Yisrael. But Asahu, Ezra came along, Tikken Tlasa Gavra Absar Psiki. He made that it has to be 3, that you can't just get away with 1. And also that the minimum number is 10 Psukim. Yeah, so even though we learn till Sheni generally, which is usually 10 Psukim anyhow, but sometimes it's not. And that's why sometimes we go beyond Sheni to make sure that there's a minimum of 10 psukim. Yeah. Where's the number 10? Keneged asara batlonim. As this is a corresponding to the 10 batlonim, it's a kind of respect. Now here, batlonim, usually we use the word batlon, we mean like a bludger. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But in this context, the batlon was not the bludger. It meant somebody who didn't work on a job, and they were ksherim. You missed that word. B'nayadna ksherim. It means they were good people who were dedicated their whole lives to public works, the public good. Yeah, they were public servants. Yeah, so they're called batlonim because they didn't go into business, but they were and they were always around in the shul. Yeah, so they were so as a mark of respect for them, they chose the number 10. To make as the 10 psukim we read on Monday and Thursday.
In other words, they weren't like what we understand now, but these guys actually sit and learn. These guys didn't necessarily learn all the time. They did
tzarch et sibur, yeah. But it does say that they were always in shul. That means if you need a minion, there's always a minion sitting there.
Although I don't see the connection between 10 sentences and them.
There's no connection. It was just a sign of... in honor. It's like, you know, sometimes you put up a plaque in honor of somebody. So instead of a plaque... he put up 10 psukim as an honor of those 10 people. Okay, next one. The next one was that donin b'sheni v'chamishi, that the bezdin, when they had to judge cases, would do it on Monday and Thursday. Why? D'shchichi d'azul l'mikra b'sifra, because everybody comes to hear laning, so it's convenient that those days when everyone comes to hear laning, the bezdin is there on that day available for them to do court cases.
That's the whole idea is because you've got 10 people. At least 10 people who actually dedicate themselves
for
the community, so therefore you honor them, as it were.
They're elected on the committee.
Correct, but then you're saying that this is actually we're kind of stressing the importance of this role, actually dedicating 10 psukim to be ready.
That's right.
So there's a link. There's a you know there's a
Yeah, okay, but it's... Yeah, you could have made 10 anything. Okay, but that's what they chose to do.
I don't see the link. I just see, like...
That was how they honored those 10 people. Okay, the next one is Yehu bechapsin bechamisha b'Shabbos. They should wash their clothes on Thursday. Says the Gemara mishum kovet Shabbos, in order that they should have clean clothes for Shabbos. Veshiyu oichin shum be'erev Shabbos. They should eat garlic on Friday mishum oina. This is in order to be able to have their intimacy with their wives. Dechsiv asher pirya yitein be'itoi. What's be'itoi? So the translation is that the fruit is given in its time. So it's a euphemism. What is the time? V'yomer Rav Yehuda, v'temer Rav Nachman, v'temer Rav Kahana, v'temer Rav Yochanan. One of those people said it. Zeh ha-meshamesh mitoseh be'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. Yeah, Friday night is meant to be that time, and garlic is meant to be, an aphrodisiac of some kind.
Doesn't mention anything about the stinking of the garlic.
The stinking of the garlic, yeah. My wife says that garlic would have the opposite effect, but anyway... Well, because
if you eat
garlic, it makes your breath smell.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's not going to help with your relations.
These things didn't bother them. They had very, very spicy food.
It didn't bother them. Okay. Maybe they didn't actually ask the women whether they were bothered or not.
Spice has less potency.
Yeah. Or maybe they put it in the salad. It wasn't so bad. Anyway, I'll call upon him. Tana Rabban, within the Braisa, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shum. There are 5 things said about garlic. Masbia, it satisfies you. Umashchin means it warms up your body. If you're cold, you have some garlic, it warms you up. Umatzil, ponim, and it makes your face shine. Umar bahazera, it produces that stuff.
It's very healthy.
V'hoireg kinim shum nemayayim, and it kills the bugs you've got in your stomach. V'yeshemim, some say machnis ava. It brings love to the world, umoitzi esakino, and it removes jealousy. It doesn't mention about vampires. Aren't garlic supposed to be to get rid of vampires? No?
Think about that.
The Shumachari taught me that once when I was in school, as part of the sports lesson. Okay, don't ask me what the context was. Anyhow, Vaita.
Doesn't seem to have a lot of garlic in his menus in Kimberley.
Maybe that's why there's so many vampires around the place there. Okay, next. So that was about eating garlic on Friday. The next takana of Ezra was, v'shete isha mashkemes v'oifa. A woman should wake up early to bake. Why? G'day shete pas metzuyo l'anim. In order that when the poor come around and need some food, it should be ready. So don't wait until late in the day or whatever and start baking then. Bake early in the morning, so as soon as the poor start coming, then they'll have bread ready for them. So that was a takana.
There was a case when I was in Sfas many years ago. A baker, he had a baker shop.
Yeah.
And he closed 3 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
And at 3 o'clock he would put out a carton of the day's, he wouldn't sell it the next day.
Yeah.
And that was meant for the poor people to take. Yeah.
So over here you have Liechtenstein. At the end of each day he puts all the breads left over and people collect it and take it around. What does this? Take it around to people's houses. Families who need assistance. So it's an old Jewish tradition to do this.
Yeah,
because in some places they just serve it the next day, sell it the next day and pretend it's fresh.
Ben Yehuda and the shuk, they leave boxes out at the
end of the day.
Leftover fruit or vegetables, whatever.
They also leave boxes out in the early deliveries.
Same thing, huh?
Well, there it's
temptation. If you want to get it fresh.
Temptation.
So it depends if you come late or early. Okay, the next one was Shetei Isha Chegeres Besinor. A woman should wear undergarments Mishum Tznius, simply because of Tznius, just to make sure.
He was asked, what's a Scotsman got under his kilt?
Right.
Protection.
Next one. V'shetei Isha Chefefes V'teivelas, that she should do what we call the Chafifa, to sort out her hair. It's question, Frag the Gemara, what do you mean? What's the whole point there? That there shouldn't be a chatzitza when she goes to what she toivels? That's not a takan of Ezra. Chatzitza means an interruption. When a person goes in the mikveh, they have to make sure there's no interruption between them and the water. So if the hair is all knotted, that's considered, the water can't get in, that's considered an interruption, a chatzitza. So the Gemara asks, how come you tell me it's the Ezra said that? The Raisa here, that's from the Torah. The Tani, within the Raisa, the Rochas is Besorah B'mayim, which it says 870 million times in Torah, it says a person has to get his Kabbas Tomei. So what does he do? He washes his flesh, literally, in the water. What does it mean? He goes to the mikveh. That's what it means, Rochas B'mayim. So what does it mean, B'mayim? Verachatz besori. He could have just told me he washes. What's bamayim? What if it's a repetition? Shalo yehi dover chaytseitz ben besori lamayim. There shouldn't be anything that interrupts between his body and the water, so it can't have a chatzitza on him.
What about beards that are knotted?
So a person who has to go in the mikveh in order to become torah has to make sure his beard is not knotted. Also, there's
some don't you?
Yeah, while when we go to the mikveh nowadays, we're not so worried about it because our mikveh is not, we're not really going from tumah to tara as such because we're tumah anyhow and we don't need to be tohir for any particular reason either. Yeah, chayav al mataris asur regel. Yeah, okay, so but what we do is not got the same stringencies is really mikveh. If it came down to, if you wanted to go to the Beis HaMikdash and you were being toivled, you were toivled for that reason, and a person who's tomei and goes to the Beis HaMikdash is severe repercussions, Lamazogin. So therefore, you would be more careful and you would have, they have the mikveh ladies, you'd have a mikveh man, and he would check it all out for you, so make sure that you do it. Yeah, so the woman has to make sure that her hair. So the, first of all, is Besorah.
Those
people
who go in the
Harabais,
they have to actually do
that. Yeah, Besorah means that in between your skin and the water there should be no chatzitza. And then Es Besorah, the word Es refers to something which is secondary. So there's obviously not allowed to be an interruption, so there can't be something on top of your skin, yeah? And then Es HaTofel Besorah, also secondary things, or my knee, say it was like your hair. So even in your hair, there's not allowed to be a chatzitza. The hair has to be set up in such a way the water should be able to get in and make the hair wet. So there's not allowed to be an interruption. And that's why the woman has to brush, chafifa means to unbraid it. So the Gemara answers, Omri, they answer, Daraisa is li'iyuni dilma mikter. In Minhat Torah, what she has to do is check, maybe it's got a knot, Inami mos, or it's dirty. Mos means disgusting. Rashi says meluchluch. If it's got dirt, because dirt would be a chatzitza. If it's stuck on, if there's dirt stuck on, that would be also an interruption. Midi, if it's got some dirt on it, mishum chatzitza, because of an interruption. Turn the page. Va'asu iho, and he came along and he made it tikkun chafifa, and he said it must be done with a brush, yeah, to make it stronger. So in HaTorah, there was, you just check it. And he said, let's be a bit more firm on it and make sure it's done with a brush. So that was that one. Okay, next one. Shehu roichlin machazrin v'ayoris, that the peddlers, the traveling salesmen, should go around the cities. Why? Mishum tachshutei noshin, because they sell adornments for the women. Kadesh leizganu al balayim, they should be able to dress up and not become, ugly, unpleasant for their husbands. And the last one was Tiken Tfilah LeBalikri, and he made a takana that a Balkeri has to go to the mikveh. Fred the Gemara, what are you talking about? Deraisahi. That's in the Torah. Dechsi, v'ishki seitzi men a shichlazera. If a man ejects some shichlazera, v'rochatz es besorah b'mayim, he has to go to the mikveh. So what do you mean Ezra made that up? Answer the Gemara, deraisahu l'truv v'kachim. Min ha-Torah, there's no obligation to get yourself out of the tumah. You can become tomei and you can stay tomei. Only if you want to eat truma, if you want to eat korbanos, if you want to go in the Beis HaMikdash. Asahu, Ezra came along, tiken afilu ledivrei Torah, and he made the takana even to learn Torah, that you're not allowed to learn Torah unless you go first in the mikveh of a person as a balkeri. And of course, this was not accepted. The tzibur didn't accept this. Doesn't mention it over here. There's a whole long Tosfos here. Yeah, that it was too hard for it.
You learn in Brochus, you learn that the
bottle
of Tekon. So, but you don't know what the Tekon is until you get to
Bottle of Tekon. So because they decided, Huda Maseri, they decided it was too hard to say that every person who's Shashatetz HaBen HaShikvazera cannot learn anything until he goes to the mikveh. So the tzibur never accepted it, and then it's a kana which the tzibur doesn't accept is bottle.
But also
they said
because
Torah is more like egg. Yeah, so the whole thing. So therefore, the fact is that people are allowed to learn Torah even without purifying themselves in this manner. Okay. So that's the 10 things of Ezra. Now that we're on to a roll of 10 things, we had the 10 things of Yeshua, we had the 10 things of Ezra. Now we have Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Yerushalayim. 10 things that they said about Yerushalayim. Special things for Yerushalayim. Number one, Ein Habayus Cholot Bo. A house can never become permanently sold. So we know the din is, if you have a walled city, an Ur Choyma, so you have Bote Ore Choyma, the rule is, if you sell a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, then for the first 12 months, the seller is entitled to buy it back. If he gets the funds and he wants it back, he can buy it back. He can force the other guy to sell it back. But once the 12 months is up, that's it. Let's miss us. It's gone with the wind. Yeah, even Yovel, he doesn't get it back. Yeah, so this statement is that in Yerushalayim, it doesn't apply. He can always buy it back. Yeah, and also when Yovel comes, he gets it back. It doesn't have a din. It doesn't have a din in this regard of a Ir Choyma. Yerushalayim is an exception. Number two, Eina Mevia Egla Rufa. So the Egla Rufa, if they find a dead body, so and they don't know who the murderer is, so they measure the closest city, and the people of that city, the elders, they bring this Egla, this calf, into the valley, and they kill him, and they say a whole ritual there, and that's called the Egla Rufa. That's the Kapora. That's the atonement. So Yerushalayim is not counted. When you're measuring the closest city, Yerushalayim is not included in that cheshbon.
So that had no chiv to be malav anybody leaving Yerushalayim?
I wouldn't go that far. I think that the reason of all this is because Yerushalayim is doesn't belong to any tribe. All these things it says about it within your tribes, blah blah blah, b'shvatecha. So because it wasn't given out to the tribes, it was owned by everybody. Therefore, all of these things don't apply. Ein anasis ir nidachas, it cannot become ir nidachas, a city where the whole city decided to worship avodah zarah. So the city has to be destroyed, but that wouldn't apply in Yerushalayim. Ve'enam etama b'negoyim. If you have a house in Yerushalayim, so a house, as we know, a house can get a tzaras, a leprosy in a house. That can happen in a person's house, but in Yerushalayim it doesn't apply. Ve'en meitziyin bazizim v'guzus trois. You're not allowed to have, coming out of your house, protrusions. Yeah, we're going to say because of tumah. Because it makes too much tumah, because you have tumah soil. So therefore, when you have a house, you're not allowed to have a merpeset hanging over and all that sort of stuff. The ein oisim ba'ashpatos, you cannot make a tip, rubbish tip. The ein oisim ba'kivshonos, you don't make furnaces for making pottery and brickworks, because it makes too much smoke. It's not pleasant. The ein oisim ba'ganos upardesos. And you don't make gardens and orchards except for this Ganesh Vrodim, which was used for the spices for the Ktoiris, which was there from the olden days and the early Nevi'im. We're going to go through all these. You're not allowed to grow chickens. You don't leave a dead body overnight. If someone dies in Yerushalayim, is buried immediately. Okay, so that's it. So those are the 10 things. Now we go and discuss in detail. Number one, Ein Habayis Cholot Bo. Why is a house that is sold there not have a normal din of Habayis Batei Ore Choyma? Because the Pasuk says, V'kam Habayis Hashaloi Choyma Latzmissus. The expression of the Pasuk is that the house will remain in the house, which is in a walled city. Latzmissus means perpetually. L'kena oisai, to the guy who buys it, l'deroisa, for his future generations, because savar, and he holds that loy, nischalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim, because Yerushalayim wasn't given out to the tribe, so nobody gets to keep anything perpetually. It's all communal.
Even though the border between Binyamin and Yehuda goes from Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah, but it still belonged to everybody. According to this day, everyone agrees to that. Yeah. Number two was Eina Mevia Egla Rufa Dechsiv. The Pasuk says in Kiseitze, Ki Motze, in Kiseitze, in Shoftim, sorry, Ki Motze Cholol, when there was a corpse found, on the land which Hashem is giving you as an inheritance. Mishalayim was not given to anybody as an inheritance. It wasn't divided up to the tribes, and therefore the Egla Rufa doesn't apply there. It cannot come in here any dachas if they did avodah zara. Dichsiv arecha. It says kisishma be'achad arecha. I think the lashon is when you'll hear in one of your cities. So he says your cities. Yerushalayim is not your city. Yerushalayim is God's city. Yerushalayim lo nischakel l'shvatim. Next one is ena mitam v'negoyim. It doesn't get a din of a nega in a house. Of Nige Batim, a Tsaras in a house, Dirsiv, Venasati Nega Tsaras, the Pasuk says, I will put a plague of leprosy, Beves Eretz Achuzaschem, in a house, in the land of your inheritance, of your, that you get in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim Loinis Chakal Shvatim. It's the same reason again, because Yerushalayim was not divided up to the people like everywhere else, therefore that doesn't apply. Ve'ein Matzim Bazizim V'Guzus Trois, and it cannot make on your house a protrusion added to the street. Mipnei oil tuma, because number one, you're making too much tuma. Because the oil, if you have a protrusion and there's a tuma over here and something else next to it, and they're both under the same roof, then the thing becomes tamei. And in Yerushalayim, you can't afford to have that risk of things becoming tamei. Or mishund lalitzuko oil regolim, and also because it could cause damage to, because it gets crowded in the streets when people come oil regolim. There's a lot of people around, and you have things sticking out of your house. Someone's going to get hurt. Ve'ein oisim ba'ashpotos, and you don't make a rubbish tip in Yerushalayim. Why? Mipshum shkotzim. Because there'll be too many dead rodents in there, and again, it's because of tumah. It makes too much tumah. Ve'ein oisim ba'kivshoinos, you don't make furnaces. Mishum kutra, because there's too much smoke. Ve'ein oisim ba'ganas u'pardesim, is mishum sirka. Because if you make gardens and orchards, you're going to end up with so sircha is unpleasantness. So Rashi says it talks about there's going to be weeds that grow there. It won't look nice, and also you're going to need to fertilize it, and it's going to smell, and so it's just not a good thing. The aim of ganav b'tanagolim, and you cannot have chickens mishum kochim, because chickens are also, it's also to do with tumah, because chickens tend to poke around, grab dead rodents, and then throw them on the kochim, so that's no good. The fact that you can't leave overnight a dead body in Yerushalayim is Gemara. There's no particular reason given. That's a tradition that we have. Okay. So, full stop. Those are the 10 things of Yerushalayim. Now, Shabbos in front. Yeah, so I don't know when that started, but it's not mentioned over here. Next. Now, back in the Mishnah, way back, if you remember, the Mishnah said, Em Gadlin Chazirim B'chol Mokim, that you're not allowed to grow pigs anywhere. Tana Rabbana, what's the story with pigs? Aside from the fact that they're pigs, but why especially you're not allowed to grow pigs? Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisik. It says, in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, so the Chashmonoi family decided they wanted to be king. But it wasn't enough for them to be the Kohanim, they wanted to be the kings as well. So there were two brothers. There was Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. There's Hayo Hyrcanus Bifnim. So Hyrcanus was inside Yerushalayim, Aristobulus was in Bechutz, and they were sieging. Yeah, so they couldn't get in and out of Yerushalayim. What happened? But the Beis Hamikdash was inside. Yeah, and the animals for the Korbanos were outside. And they were all frum, even though they were fighting. And so they wanted to bring the Korban. So what did they do? Uvechol yoim, every day, they had to take the money for the Korbanos, had to come from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Kupa Salishka. So what did they do? They took from the money box in the Beis HaMikdash every day, and they had a pulley system. They would put money in the box and pulley it over the fence, over the wall. Yeah. And they would put a sheep in the box and send it back over to bring the Korban Tomid. Yeah, it was right. It was near the end. Hayisham Zaken Echad. There was one on the outside. There was one old bloke, Shayamakir b'chachmas Yevonis, and he knew Greek chachma, Greek knowledge. Amar lahem, and he said to them, to the guys on the outside, Kol zman sha'iskin ba'avoda, you're trying to win a battle against the guys on the inside. The guys on the inside have an advantage because they're doing stuff in the Beis Hamikdash. As long as they're doing stuff in the Beis Hamikdash, they've got gods on their team. Is Einim Sarim Biyechem, you will not be able to win. So you got to find a way to stop them from bringing the karbonis. There's the macha the next day. Shushla dinrim bekupa. So they did their normal thing of putting money in the box and sending it over the fence. The hell of the ham chazir. Instead of giving them a sheep for the carbon tomei, they put a pig in there. Okay.
It's not close to the korban. It's actually when the rabbits took over
its soul. Isn't that close to the korban? I don't know. Yeah, well, it's, yeah. So when the Chashmonaim became the kings. Yeah. How far is that before the Korban? Okay, so it's a few generations before the Korban. Alright, okay. Once the pig got halfway up the wall, as he was being abseiled over the fence, not to Parna Bechoyma. The pig decided, I'm not being party to this monkey business, pig business, and he stuck his fingernails into the wall and said, I'm not going anymore. It says his fingernails. Then his daza eretz Yisrael arba meyas parsel, arba meyas parsel. And it caused an earthquake in eretz Yisrael. It shook for 400 parses because of such a terrible thing that they were trying to send in a pig to be the korban. But Isa Shah Omru, so at that time, based on this story, they said, Orur Ha'ishi Gala Chazirin. Cursed is the person who will grow pigs. V'orur Ha'adam Shiel Amidus B'nai Chachmas Yevonis. Cursed is the person who teaches his son Greek knowledge. V'al Isa Shah Shaninu. And on that time, just using the expression Isa Shah. Isa Shah means that time also is the same time where it says, Amaisa Shabbat Omer. Miganis Trifim or the Megagis Trifim, there's two different opinions. That even though the Omer, when they brought the carbon, Omer was from the first grain they brought the carbon on Pesach, so it was supposed to come from somewhere close to Yerushalayim, but one time it came far away from a place called Ganis Trifim, and the Shtei HaLechem also for Shavuos, the carbon that was brought on Shavuos was supposed to generally come from close by. But it was Nebika Saint Socher. Because they were sieged, as Rashi explains, because they were sieged, they couldn't find the grain that was, the land was ravaged nearby, so they could only get from far away to bring these karbonis. So the Gemara asks, V'chachmas Yevonis Mi Asiri, is it forbidden to learn Greek knowledge? V'atanya Omar Rebbe, Beretz Yisrael, top the page, Loshen Sursi Lama. Why should you speak Sursi when you're in Eretz Yisrael? Syriac. Oy Lashon HaKodesh, you should either speak Lashon HaKodesh or Lashon Yevonis or the Greek. So that means Greek is okay. There's Omer Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi said also Bavel Lashon Arami Lama. Why are you speaking Aramaic in Bavel? Oy Lashon HaKodesh, you should either speak Lashon Kodesh or Lashon Parsi or Persian. Is Omri, so they answered Lashon Yevoni Lachud. The Greek language is one thing, but Chochmas Yevonis Lachud, but Greek knowledge is different. So the language is fine, but the Greek philosophy and Plato and Aristotle and all those chevra, that's not so fine. So that's the okay. We'll leave it over here.
Some reason why.